This is the Mahabharata Podcast, episode 79, Down with Dushasan, Killing Karna. Last time, we got started with the fighting on the 17th day of the war. You might think we're nearly through, but day 17 is a really long day. Karna led the attack with his surly new driver, King Shalya, but so far he's avoided Arjun. Instead, he got in a tussle with Yudhishthira, and if the last chapter is to be believed, he hurt the Pandava's feelings more than he hurt his body. Yudhishthira was carried off to his tent to have his wounds treated. Meanwhile, Krishna suggested to Arjun that they first check on the king before they finish up with Karna. So the pair headed off to camp as well. As I pointed out last time, Yudhishthira behaved very strangely. He assumed that Karna had already been killed and did not bother to confirm his assumption. Instead, he went into a long diatribe about how much he hated and feared Karna. When Arjun admitted that Karna still lived, Yudhishthira perversely criticized and insulted his heroic brother. Even more strangely, Arjun responded to this by threatening to kill his own brother over an absurd oath he had supposedly sworn in secret a long time ago. Like a ridiculous parody of the rest of the epic, Krishna steps in with a workaround to killing the Dharmaraja. First, Arjun must insult his brother and then brag about himself. When this was done, the brothers kissed and made up, then both praised Krishna for his wisdom, and Arjun returned to the battle, more determined than ever to kill Karna. Well, we're done with that now, and the writing once again feels like the work of Vyasa. The next chapter is called The Slaying of Dushasan. The scene opens with a general melee, where the Sanjaya Uttamajas kills another of Karna's sons, named Sushena. Bhim then directed his driver to take him closer to the Dhritarashtra brothers so he could settle some more scores. Duryodhana observed Bhima's arrival and directed his followers to kill Bhim. It was his uncle Shakuni who led the attack on the Pandava. Shakuni attacked Bhima and managed to injure him, but Bhim countered ferociously and destroyed Shakuni's chariot, knocking him unconscious. Shakuni's easy defeat put the rest of his supporters to flight until even Duryodhana was caught up in the rout. The fleeing army ran to Karna for protection. Karna, meanwhile, was engaged with the Panchalas, of whom he killed many thousands. Bhima, as well as Nakul, Sahadev, and the Draupadeyas, tried to shore up their allies, but soon they were all caught up in a rout, and it was Karna who led the offensive. Now it was the Pandavas' turn to run away. Pressing their advantage, Duryodhana, Shakuni, Ashvataman, and Dushasan all joined with Karna in an attempt to make a final push to victory. Perhaps this was the point in which Arjun returned from camp, because only now does he enter the scene. Shalya was the first to notice his banner, and this time Karna did not mean to avoid his nemesis. He ordered Shalya to set a course for Arjun's chariot. He also ordered his followers to attack Bhima and Arjun to soften them up a bit. His warriors did as they were told, but death consumed them as soon as they drew near to Arjun. Among Arjun's attackers were 10 of Duryodhana's brothers. I had always expected that these guys were reserved for Bhima to kill, but not this time. Arjun fired 10 arrows, each of which beheaded one of his Kaurava cousins. Bhima probably didn't mind this very much, because he found himself engaged with even better quarry. Dushasan hurled himself at Bhima, and the two fought furiously. Bhima shot down his banner and beheaded his driver, but Dushasan got an arrow past his guard and it struck Bhima in the torso, causing him to double over in pain. Dushasan followed that up with more arrows, further injuring the Pandava. But all this only served to make Bhima mad. He shouted, "Ow, that hurt! Today, I shall drink your blood right here on the battlefield." Bhima then drew out a club that must have had an explosive in it, because he threw it at Dushasan and it blew up his chariot and left him writhing on the ground, his clothing and armor in tatters. Bhima then leapt off his own chariot and stood over his crippled cousin. Recalling Dushasan's disgraceful behavior at the dice game, Bhima stood over his cousin and said, "Tell me, which hand did you use to pull the hair of the consecrated queen Draupadi?" Dushasan smirked at that, as if recalling the incident with pride. He raised his hand and said, "This hand, which has squeezed thousands of swollen breasts, given away thousands of cows, and destroyed countless warriors, this is the hand that dragged the hair of Yajnasena's daughter, even as you looked on." That was enough for Bhima, who placed one foot on Dushasan's chest and ripped the arm away from his body and bludgeoned him to death with it. Bhima next cut off Dushasan's head and cut open his chest. Casting aside his sword, Bhima drank the warm blood with gusto. As he drank, he said, "This is better than milk or honey, better than the sweet taste of the amrit." Sanjay said that the onlookers were all horrified at the grisly spectacle, and many fled, sick with fear of Bhima. When Bhima finally tired of his vengeance, He looked up and saw Krishna and Arjun standing by. His arms and face smeared with blood, he grinned at his brother and said, "My vow to punish Dushasana has been fulfilled. Now I only have one more sacrificial victim. Once I have trodden on Duryodhana's head, then I shall find peace." Even as he was saying this, 10 of Dushasana's surviving brothers attempted to ambush Bhima, showering him with arrows. But Arjun was too quick for them, and, firing 10 arrows at once, each arrow took the life of one of Dhritarashtra's sons. Sanjay said that even Karna was unnerved by the horrid spectacle. Shalya noticed the despair of the Kauravas, and he thought of the most fitting words to say for that moment. Shalya said, "Don't despair, son of Radha. It is unbecoming of you. All of your allies and commanders are totally freaked out by Bhima, and Duryodhana is traumatized by the death of his brother. The Pandavas have completed one of their objectives, and now they are gunning for you. So remember your dharma as a Kshatriya, and face Dhananjaya like a man. In victory, you shall have fame, and in defeat, you shall have heaven. So now go get him." Actually, it was Karna's son, Vrishasena, who was the first to attack. Nakul stepped forward to meet him, so it appears the others stepped back to let the pair fight one-on-one. This time, it was the Pandava Nakul who initially got the upper hand, injuring and disarming his opponent. But Vrishasena was no slouch. And let's face it, Nakul wasn't the greatest of Pandavas. And soon, the boy disarmed and wounded Nakula. He also blew out the Pandava's chariot. Injured and disarmed, Nakul fled to his brothers. He urged Arjun to take the boy out. Vrishasena was not afraid of Arjun either. He happily sent some arrows flying at him and at Krishna. That was a bit foolhardy. Arjun announced, "Karna, they tell me you had a hand in the killing of my son, and so today I shall reciprocate by killing Vrishasena. Go ahead and try to stop me, and when I'm done with him, you'll be next. Then Bhima here will kill Duryodhana and will finish this awful war." Calmly and steadily, Arjun knocked a few arrows to his bow and fired them off. One arrow took off Vrishasena's head, and two more took off his arms. Headless and armless, the grotesque figure of Karna's son toppled to the ground. Karna had witnessed the whole thing, and he furiously charged at Arjun. The long-awaited encounter had finally begun. Sanjay said that when Krishna saw his approach, he laughed and said, "Here comes Karna in his well-equipped chariot, led by white horses and driven by the king of the Madras. He is eager for the approval of his master. Now, may good fortune be yours, son of Pritha, and win victory today." Arjun replied, "Krishna, since you are content to drive my horses, my victory is certain, and unless I kill my enemy in battle, I shall not return. Today, it shall be either him or me. People will remember this battle for as long as the world exists." Sanjay said that in an instant, the fastest thought chariot of Pandu's son arrived before Karna's chariot. It looks like the contest had devolved into a kind of tournament, with the surviving warriors on both sides acting as the audience. The Kurus struck up their musical instruments and blew on conches in support of Karna, while the Pandavas cheered on their hero. It says that all living things were gripped with uncertainty as to who would win when they saw these two heroes engage in battle. Even the celestial audience overhead were awestruck by the spectacle. Sanjay then framed the duel in terms of a new dice game. He said, "The Kauravas gathered behind Karna, while the Pandavas stood behind Arjun, because Karna was the Kaurava's throw of the dice, while Arjun was the Pandava's throw. The onlookers were the judges and witnesses to the match, and, depending on this outcome, lay victory or defeat. It was an all-or-nothing stake." It seems that the whole universe embraced the dualism of this conflict. Most of the gods took Arjun's side, while the Danavas, snakes, and Rakshasas all took Karna's side. Karna's father, the sun god, and the sky goddess also cheered for Karna. Naturally, Mother Earth took Arjun's side. After all, Krishna is her champion in the cosmic struggle represented by this war. Also taking Arjun's side were all the sages and Gandharvas. All the Vaishyas, Shudras, and Sutas, and those of mixed caste, all took Karna's side, while the purebred Brahmins and Kshatriyas took to Arjun. Meanwhile, their respective fathers, Indra and Surya, like bellicose fathers at a kid's sporting match, began quarreling with each other over who had the better son. Finally, the grandfather of the gods, Brahma, stepped in to settle the matter. He declared, "Victory is certain for Arjun, for it was he who gratified Agni at the Kandava forest, and it was he who helped Indra with his enemies. Karna is on the side of the demons, so he should be defeated." Sanjay said, "Then began a terrible battle between the two as they vied with one another. Krishna pierced Shalya with his arrow-like glances, and likewise Shalya glared back at him. And as that chaotic and terrible battle unfolded, they each blanketed the other with dense waves of sharp, straight-flying arrows. Onlookers on both sides were struck by these ubiquitous arrows, but the Pandavas held their position and did not respond. The Kauravas, however, grew annoyed at being struck by Arjun's arrows, and a contingent of them broke away and attacked him. Arjun barely noticed them, however, and they were soon exterminated by him as if they were a mere afterthought. At the sight of this, Ashvatthaman spoke to Duryodhana. He said, "It is time you came to your senses. It isn't too late, so stop this quarrel and make peace with your cousins. You know that Yudhishthira is devoted to the welfare of all the people, and his brothers will obey him. So let there be peace between you, and you'll rule the world together. This is probably your last chance, so take my advice and end this now." Duryodhana listened and then replied, "It's exactly as you describe it, my friend. But still, now that Bhima has slaughtered my brothers, how can there be peace among us? And besides, neither you nor I can stop Karna now." By this point, the pair had resorted to magic weapons. Arjun summoned a fire missile, and Karna countered it with a water missile. The subsequent collision engulfed them both in a fog, which Arjun dispelled with the wind weapon. Arjun next produced Indra's own Vajra, or thunderbolt, and Karna reciprocated with the Mahendra missile, which negated the thunderbolt, and then followed up with the Bhargava missile, the blast of which wiped out thousands of Pandava onlookers. Bhima grew annoyed and scolded his brothers, saying, "How can you just stand there and watch as he slaughters so many good men? I've seen you fight Shiva himself, so how can this wretch survive even for a minute before you? This contest is getting tiresome, so either finish him off quick or let me do it for you." Krishna chimed in too, saying, "Remember who you are. You and I have been fighting the forces of evil for millennia, so let's wrap this up now." While all this ruckus was going on the surface of the earth, it awoke a sleeping demon down below. This demon was a serpent who had survived the great fire in the Kandava forest, and had ever since nursed a grudge against Arjun. This serpent, called Ashvasena, woke up and realized what was going on above ground. Using his yogic power, he entered one of Karna's arrows and charged it up with his hatred for the two Krishnas. Unwittingly, Karna selected that arrow for his next attack. The gods could see what had happened, and Indra suddenly despaired for Arjun's life. Shalya must have sensed something as well, because he cautioned Karna about taking aim. He said, "You should aim a little higher, or that arrow won't reach him." Karna said, "I never aim an arrow twice." Firing off the snake-headed arrow, he shouted, "Take that, Palguna!" The gods all gasped as this arrow made its way towards Arjun's exposed neck. But Krishna knew what was coming, and he pressed down on the chariot with his foot, forcing the horses to kneel while the vehicle sank down into the earth. By the time the arrow struck, Arjun had lost some elevation, and the missile struck his golden helmet, knocking it to the ground. Even this was no mean feat, since the helmet had belonged to Indra, and the ground shook as it struck the earth. Arjun thought nothing of it, however, and he just tied up his hair with a white cloth and resumed the fight. The snake wasn't done yet, however. He returned to Karna, hoping to re-enter Karna's quiver. Karna noticed him and asked what he wanted. The snake explained that he'd nearly killed Arjun, but for Karna's bad aim. Karna demurred, however, saying, "I don't need anyone's help in killing Arjun. Besides, I never fire the same arrow twice. Now step aside and let me kill him myself." The snake then decided to take matters into his own hands, and he flew at Arjun under his own power. Without thinking, Arjun sliced the snake into little pieces with his arrows. He asked Krishna, "What was that?" And Krishna explained how this snake was still mad about the Kandava fire. See episode 18. As he explained this, Krishna jumped down and pulled the chariot back up out of the ground. While Arjun waited to get moving, Karna struck him with 10 razor-headed arrows. Arjun replied with a single iron arrow, which cut right through Karna and sank into the earth on the other side. He followed that up with more arrows that struck off Karna's headdress, knocked off his earrings, and cut his armor to pieces. Arjun did not let up. He fired more arrows, wounding Karna all over, and finally striking him in the center of his chest. Sorely hurt, Karna became insensible. Dropping his bow and quiver, he tottered there in confusion. Too noble to kill a man in this predicament, Arjun relented, allowing Karna to recover his senses. But Krishna complained, "What's the holdup? Do him in now. The wise man strikes down his enemies, especially when they are incapacitated." Arjun said, "So be it," and proceeded to fire arrows into Karna's stunned and senseless body. Sanjay said, With many arrows spearing his body, Karna was radiant, like a huge mountain bristling with pine trees. But then Karna snapped out of his stupor, retrieved his weapons, and began firing back. Finally, even fate got tired of this game, and as Karna raced by on his chariot, the earth herself suddenly opened up and swallowed his chariot wheel. Karna's chariot came to an abrupt halt. Shedding tears of frustration and anger, Karna hopped down to free up the wheel. All the while, he called out to Arjun, "Time out, Arjun. Hang on a second while I raise my wheel out of the ground. You are famously fair-minded, so you won't shoot me, will you? You know Dharma, so I'm sure you won't hit me while I'm down." Karna tugged at the wheel, but it would not budge. Straining with all his might, Karna lifted the whole earth a few inches higher, but still could not free the wheel. Meanwhile, Krishna took great exception to Karna's talk of Dharma. He said, "What's this? Suddenly you have an interest in Dharma? Dharma never came to mind when you and your pals dragged Draupadi into the hall. Where was your sense of Dharma when Shakuni cheated Yudhishthira at dice? And what of your Dharma when you did not hand over the kingdom after 13 years? What of your Dharma when you insulted Draupadi? Or when you allowed Abhimanyu to be ambushed and killed? The Pandavas know Dharma well, and it is by Dharma that they shall destroy their enemies." Imagine being schooled in Dharma by Krishna himself. Karna was deeply embarrassed, and he guiltily hung his head down. Krishna's speech also had a strong effect on Arjun. The reminder of Karna's past perfidy infuriated the Pandava to the point that fiery energy emanated from his eyes and ears. Drawing a particularly auspicious arrow, Arjun enchanted it with more mantras and then said, "As certainly as I have been true to my Dharma, may this arrow kill my gallant enemy Karna." Karna turned to his last defense, the Brahma weapon, but, as predicted, the mantra slipped from his mind. Sanjay said, "With that radiant arrow, whose brightness was like the sun and moon, Arjun, his bow drawn and body bristling, was eager to kill his enemy as he clung to the wheel. He unleashed the arrow, and it lit up the sky with its fiery radiance. Then Arjun severed his head, just as Indra severed Vitra's head with his thunderbolt. Karna's severed head tumbled to the ground like the sun falling from the sky. Then Karna's massive body collapsed with its wounds streaming blood. Once he'd fallen, a fiery energy spread out from Karna's body and entered the sky and sun. All the men and warriors watched that marvel after Karna was killed. While the Pandavas and their allies hooted and hollered in celebration, Shalya whipped his horses and fled the scene. As the afternoon sun settled in the west, Karna's body glowed like twilight in the long shadows. Bhima roared and danced a jig that made the earth shake, while many Kauravas broke away and began to flee. Duryodhana just sat down and wept. Pretty much everyone on the Kaurava side who had a chariot or elephant fled the field, leaving the Kaurava princes with about 20,000 foot soldiers. Shalya rode up to Duryodhana and said, "There has never been a battle such as there was today. Karna was truly unbeatable, but fate determined otherwise. So pull yourself together. Everything depends on fate, and you are not beaten yet." Duryodhana did just that. Drawing his sword, he mounted his chariot, driven by his own son, and rallied his remaining infantry to attack. It was pretty hopeless for these forlorn infantry. Bhima waded in among them and soon had all 20,000 of them exterminated. The few chariot warriors still in the fight, such as Kripa, Ashvataman, Shakuni, and Duryodhana, continued fighting until darkness finally settled in on the battlefield. The 17th day of the war had come to an end. Without discussion, the surviving Kauravas each went separately to his own tent for the night, unsure what fate awaited them on the next day. The Pandavas were jubilant. Yudhishthira toured the field in his own chariot, making sure that Karna was indeed dead, and then the whole camp gathered to celebrate. As for old Dhritarashtra, when Sanjay got to this point in the story, the old man fell into a dead faint. The women folk in the palace had gathered around for the news, and Gandhari also passed out. This ends the book, the Karna Parva. There's a final benediction at the very end of this book that says, "Whoever shall read or listen to this account of the great sacrifice of a battle between the heroes Dhananjaya and Karna shall reach all the worlds and attain happiness. Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva are well pleased with you." For a Brahmin, listening to this is as good as mastering the Vedas. For Kshatriyas, this will bring strength in battle and victory in war. Vaishyas will accrue great wealth by it, and all Shudras shall gain good health. Whether you fall into one of those categories or not, I wish you the best. Thanks for listening.